ein Freund ist unser Jesus.
We are thankful to God with all our hearts for every day, for every service which we can have. Every time we are gathered in the presence of God, the Lord, of course, speaks directly to our hearts by His Word. And He laid the fear of God in it, to respect His Word and to receive it and accept it just as it was left to us by His grace, not to interpret, but to believe. This is the secret of the true believers. Abraham did not interpret, he believed. He believed what the Lord God told him. And so we wish all who are joined with us and with the Lord today, all over the world, God's blessings to hear His Word and to hear it reverently and to believe as the Scripture has said. including the promises for the time in which we are living by His grace. Also this morning, I would like to welcome all those who are here, and as so often mentioned, all those who have come for the first time, the Lord bless you. May He give you understanding also for the preaching, which just has to be made in this way, not because we want it, but because it was and is ordained by God to be this way. Not one of the prophets could choose what kind of message he would deliver, what he had to say to the people. All the prophets of God, they were the mouth of the Lord here on this earth. And they had the "Thus saith the Lord." It was not "Thus saith Isaiah" or "Thus saith Jeremiah." It was not "Thus saith Ezekiel" or "Daniel," but "Thus saith the Lord" through the mouth of His servants. And that's how He even speaks today through His word to us. Our brother Joseph, together with his wife Steffi, they have chosen the name Noah for their baby. And before he was choosing this name, he found out that the name Noah means rest and comfort. It's of course nice when people are thinking about what kind of name their son, in this case, should have. One can say that this is well chosen, because after the flood was over, there was rest and comfort and order. There was no one left who would have contradicted God. Also the sons of God who were disobedient and who, according to Genesis 6, did not let themselves be corrected by the Spirit of God anymore, but instead they were mixing. And behold, they were also no more. Everything what was unbelieving and disobedient was taken away with the flood. And behold, God could make a new beginning. And that's how it will be at the end. The same way it will be at the end of this age. Only God, really, He made a covenant with Noah, and He gave the promise that He never again would destroy the earth by a flood. And then we have the comparison with the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There God did not say, "This I'm not doing again," but "This God is doing again. A flood does not come anymore, because God said, I put the rainbow into the clouds as a sign of my covenant with you and with all the inhabitants of the earth." You can read it in Genesis chapter 9, from verse 8 to 17. And thus it really remains. Everything what God has said remains as it is. God never has to correct or to take anything back. And so we see that the word is always connected to promises, and that God time and again made a covenant. One can also read it in Genesis 15, as God made a covenant with Abraham, telling him what the territories the land would have, which he would give unto him and his descendants. If one reads in Genesis 17, again a covenant, again a promise, in thee shall all the generations of the earth be blessed. God always tied promises to a covenant, so that all who believe them are getting into the possession of what God promised. We have read it already yesterday from Romans chapter 4. Abraham was not staggering through unbelief. And why? Because he was looking to the invisible as he would see him. And he counted him faithful who gave him the promise that he will also fulfill it. Brother Schmidt was reading to us the marvelous word from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Also here we have the hint that we should not look unto the things which can be seen, not unto the circumstances, not unto that what likes to hinder us, but that we understand the things which can be seen are temporal, are fading, but the invisible things remain forever. And the invisible will become visible for us when we are taken from time into eternity. Then is fulfilled what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what did not enter into any man's heart. This God prepared for those who love him. Now just briefly, in view to Israel, how often shall we say it here? God fulfills his word on his natural people. The people of Israel is a people chosen by God in the natural, and God gave promises to Israel for the supernatural, namely for the New Testament church. And this, one just has to see this way, that in the Old Testament, the plan of salvation was already foreshadowed in the natural, and that it is connected with reality in the New Testament. With that, what God is doing in the New Testament, in the Old promised, and in the New he is doing it. And therefore, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In regards to Israel, so for this time, the word from Jeremiah 23 applies. Jeremiah 23, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
Auf ihrem Grund und Boden wohnten.
It's just this way. God did it in such a way. A natural land, but a land of promise. And then comes the New Testament church. We not only received a land for a promise, but ye shall inherit the earth. We will reign together with Christ for 1,000 years. But first comes the realization of the plan of salvation of our God with the church in this time. And because of what happens with Israel, we recognize, of course, what time it is on the world watch. I mentioned it already, and most surely I will time and again mention it. Brother Branham, who at that time was in Cairo and who wanted to go to Jerusalem, to him the angel of the Lord said, "The time is not yet here. The measure of sin is not yet full. Israel is gathered from all peoples, from all nations, from 142 nations they have returned home." And then Brother Branham said, "He who likes to know what time it is, he shall have a look onto his watch. And he who likes to know which day of the week it is, he shall look into his calendar. And he who likes to know how far the time is spent, he shall look to Israel." And so we are indeed seeing how as Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and as the whole world looks to Israel. I brought with me here the extracts from the UN resolutions, and just think of it, more than half of all the UN resolutions are against Israel, I mean in comparison to the whole world. And therefore it will be fulfilled what is written, that all nations will be against Jerusalem. And why? Because the people of God are a chosen people, and nobody has the right to touch his people. They were disobedient, that's true. The majority was broken off, but also for Israel it remains, as written in Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and onward, the election has obtained it at all times, be it from Israel or from the nations. It's always the election. Election is not an imagination. Election is a predestination which could have been done by God before the foundation of the world, because God knew exactly who would receive and who would not receive. He who would believe and he who would not believe. And so God could write our names into the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, because he knew that we would not despise his word, but that we would believe it. Because he knew that we, in this time of confusion, where so many voices are heard, that we would hear his voice and his respecting his word, and that we would believe it with all our hearts. In connection with election, one indeed must read Ephesians chapter 1 to know what is written then in verse 13 and what kind of meaning verse 13 has in Ephesians chapter 1 and to whom this verse refers to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. A wonderful word, not only filled, not only anointed, but sealed, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And why do we read here with the Holy Spirit of promise? Also this we have time and again emphasized. The word of promise, the children of promise, and the Spirit of promise belong together. Because first the Holy Spirit leads us into the Word and reveals it to us. And then the Word is sealed in the disciples of the Lord. One can read it. Isaiah chapter 8. Seal the prophecy. Seal the Word in thy disciples. And when we think about that we are living in a time in which the sealed book was opened. Also, this is a question which was asked for this weekend. What is it all about with the ministry of Brother Branham? And if one would not also come along without it, being prepared without his ministry. You all know, many people have many questions, but it is really about a Bible answer. And I say it to the people worldwide. The brethren can testify of it. Also on my last Africa trip, where indeed in every city thousands were gathered, be it in the Congo, be it in Point Noir, or in Kinshasa, or in Libreville, or in Luanda, wherever the meetings were, there indeed thousands came to hear the word of the Lord. But here is the point. It is about the sending, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of the Lord, or respectively, the message would forerun. Of course, one can ask right here, with what right did he claim this? And then one just has to answer with a divine right, because of a divine commission. One could have also asked, with what right appeared Jeremiah? With what right appeared Isaiah? With what right did Daniel even claim that the angel Gabriel came to him, speaking to him, giving him clarity about what was shown to him in visions? One can scrutinize everything, but here is the point. He who himself is not a religious liar believes what a man of God says. If one himself has trouble with lies and deception, he will have also troubles with others, because he transfers his own trouble unto others. So, we are truthful through the truthfulness of God, because Paul writes, as true as the truth of God dwells in me. In the kingdom of God must just be truthfulness. There's no other way. Here no opinions have to be expressed, but the word of the divine promise. And to just touch this here with the epistle to the Ephesians, from verse 3, we are having indeed an overall view, an insight into what God has given us in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Just think of it. The church of the living God is a blessed church, a people of the new covenant. As our Lord said, I think it's in Mark, as he said there so very clearly about the blood which our Lord shed. It is the blood of the covenant. And when we then read in Hebrews, then Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and he, as high priest, entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. Here in Mark 14, let me just read it, Mark 14, to show us what Calvary means for us, what it brought to us. Mark 14, verse 23. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is shed for many. Brothers and sisters, we are a blood-bought flock. The price was paid for us on Calvary. Please do not doubt it, because God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with himself. What do you think? What meaning Mark 16:16 has as a consequence to all who do not believe? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be damned. Faith is the victory. It's the blessing. Unbelief brings condemnation. He who does not believe God makes him to be a liar. And who are we that we could make God a liar? Let us believe with all our hearts, as the scripture has said. And then God will have mercy on us. He will see our condition, and then we can look up to him in faith. But we see also from Mark 16:16 and all the other scriptures that faith is joined together with obedience. He that believeth and is baptized. So not he who believeth is automatically saved, but he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not even thinking about to change anything in the Word of God. As it was left to us, so it is right, and thus it shall remain. And then we read, of course, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 41, those who received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When we now speak about that we have reached the end of the time of grace, that God has fulfilled his promise and that he has sent us an Elijah. By the way, all these biblical names, also with the prophets, they have a meaning. Elijah. God is Yahweh. J-A-H. Just as Hallelujah, Isaiah. The Lord is Yahweh, J-H-W-H, in the Old Testament. The revelation of the covenant name, E-L, L, Elohim, Emmanuel, Samuel, E-L, God. God is El, the strong one, El Shaddai. All the seven names of God in the Old Testament combined with El, and then also the seven redemptive names combined with Yahweh in the Old Testament. Everything is put in an order by God. Elijah. So, God is the Lord, and the Lord is God. That's how it was in 1 Kings, in chapter 18. The people were called together and the message was there. If the Lord is God, then believe him, follow him, make your decision for him. And we indeed believe in the one true God. The Lord is God and God is the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. In the Old Testament, to just make a bridge here, we indeed have, at the end of 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, 2 Chronicles 36, here we read, in verse 22, now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Always promise and fulfillment. And then we just flip one page and we are straight in Ezra. Chapter 1. Yesterday already, we were reading the second part from verse 1. That the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. And then the command in verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Not all, but ye who belong to God's people. This is the difference of the leading out under Moses. A great mob of people, that's how it is written, was with them. And they were the cause that disobedience could spread in Israel. But now, at the leading back, not the residents of Media and Persia and from Babylon, But ye who belong to his people, your God be with you. Go on the way. Go up to Jerusalem. Thanks be to God. Not to Rome, but to Jerusalem. God has chosen Jerusalem and the teaching and the word of God at all times went forth from Jerusalem. And this from Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is the temple mount, the Mount Moriah. Yeah. Moriah means Yahweh sees. Yahweh is watching. Yahweh is watching. There where Abraham sacrificed Isaac, there God was looking to. There God was present. And he said to Abraham, don't do it. I've seen your obedience. And what happened? Abraham saw a ram stuck in the bush. Brothers and sisters, everywhere is the plan of salvation in the whole Old Testament. And he who reads on here in Ezra chapter 5, in verse 15, it says, Ezra 5, verse 15, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in its former place. Being built on its old foundation. That what God showed, and didn't he show Moses already on the holy mount, the whole pattern? Didn't he had to make everything according to the pattern as it was shown to him? Did not Noah has to do all things just as he commanded him? Could one man of God do his own will? Had one man of God the right to interfere in God's affairs? No. All men of God had only the divine right. And this was by passing on the things received from God and doing the things commanded by him. The same it was with all the men of God in the New Testament, beginning with John the Baptist. And when Paul thinks it to be necessary in Acts 26, verse 22, to inform us that his testimony was in the limits of what God prophesied through the prophets and through Moses. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. And now it comes, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. We can go to Luke 24, where our Lord started with Moses, continuing with the Psalms and the prophets to show that all what was written found fulfillment. Brothers and sisters, we have indeed the word in Hebrews, after doing the will of God, It shall happen. Here we read it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, and really, you can read it in Haggai chapter 2, in verse 6. But now he has promised, saying, just imagine when Haggai lived and when the man of God here took over this word from the Old Testament, putting it into the present tense. And remember, 2,000 years later, namely now, 2,000 years later, that word which is written in Haggai and Hebrews, it is a divine reality before our eyes. Beloved, Bible prophecy was of course written in the present tense, most of the time written in the present tense. Some things was even written in past tense, and yet it was still in the future. For instance, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was beaten. The chastisement was on him. With God, all things are as it happened already. And when the time is fulfilled, then it happens. The same it is now with us. We can take the words from the Old and New Testament and we see how they fit into this time. And nobody needs here to make anything to fit. Everything is 100% in agreement. Here we have the promise. Yet, once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And then, straight the meaning. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Abraham was on the way. He was looking for the city which has foundations, the city whose builder and maker is God, the New Jerusalem. And that's how it is written, that we all, with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, will be gathered in the kingdom of God. Believe it. All who believed God in the time of the Old Testament, and all who believe God in the time of the New Testament, they will be there. And they always proved their faith by obedience. Let us come now to our time. And this, in fact, we must always look at anew. The scriptures, of course, are always the same. Nothing can be added to the Holy Scripture. Everything is written already. But just be honest now. And I believe it to be so with us here, and not only here, but also worldwide, that God's Word never gets old and meaningless to us, but that it is always new, and it's always new in its significance, touching our hearts, because we know that God speaks in such a way to us by His grace. He speaks to us through His Word. Before we come to the day of the Lord, before which God promised to send a prophet, let me read from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Let us stop here a bit. Here, it does not speak of the day of the Lord, but already of the great tribulation which will come after the rapture upon all who were not part of the rapture. And yet it is joined together in harmony before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall turn into blood. Up to today, this has not happened yet, and 2,000 years have passed since John the Baptist had his ministry. John the Baptist stepped on the scene before the day of salvation, before the time of grace, and this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. You can read it. Still written. And this is so nice. It's written in Isaiah 49 from verse 6 and then up to verse 10. This is the day of salvation. And this is the acceptable time. You can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, Bible prophecy is so close to each other. The first and the second coming, the promises, in fact, all the prophecies altogether, which include the first, second, the third coming, are indeed so close to one another, and sometimes the second and the third comes before the first. When I say here today that no man on earth knows his way around in Bible prophecy except the same Holy Spirit rests upon him as he rested upon the prophets. The word must be really given to us by revelation. Let us read in the prophet Joel the well-known word, and here the man of God predicted both, namely that for the day of salvation and then for the day of the Lord. Let us read it. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 from verse 28. Here it's written, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And then also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days, please keep in mind the word in the plural, in those days, not singular. The day of the Lord is written in the singular, but the time of grace as the day of salvation is described to us as days. Because it's not only 1,000 years, but 2,000 years. One day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And then it says in verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And now it comes. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. We have read this scripture already here and there. Just so wonderful how Peter on the day of Pentecost divides this word and how he stops in the middle of the words, not saying anything that salvation will be on Mount Zion, but he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Full stop. And all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You can read it. Acts chapter 2 from verse 17. In the last days, in the last days, maybe it should be said here once. Only the German Bible translation did not translate the word last day correctly. We, as a nation which normally is very precise, in our translations, everywhere it says youngest day, youngest day, youngest day. In John 11, I think three times in a row, I will raise him at the youngest day. But this does not hit the point. In all languages of the world, in Hebrew, in Greek, in Russian, in all the Slavic language, in French, everywhere, it says at the last day, just very important, looked at it from Bible prophecy. I will raise him at the last day. Of course, Luther assumed that the last son of Jesse was the youngest. This is a nice thing that he looked at it this way. The last son is the youngest son. But this does not give the right to change what God actually has said. Because here we read two things. The one concerns the last days, and in these two last days, in these 2,000 years, we are living since Pentecost. And only one single day is left, the last day. And the last day is the day of the Lord. And at the beginning of the last day, the first resurrection takes place. And at the end of the last day, the second resurrection takes place. Brothers and sisters, if one wants to be precise, or to say it more plain, when one must be precise, not only once, but if when one must be precise, then in future, translations must be compared, and one indeed must follow up the original thought. And this one must do, especially in this case, that one brings Old and New Testament onto one common denominator. Then one knows exactly it is about the last days. Remember, Hebrews 1, verse 1. God spoke to the fathers in divers manners by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. But after these last days, there remains just one last day, and this is the day of the Lord. And we will reign 1,000 years together with our Lord during that time. Let us quickly go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to see how Paul places the day of the Lord in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord. Oh, it's so nice that here it's not written the word youngest, but the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And then we are told when it will happen. Day and hour, we don't know. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon the earth. But before the destruction comes, comes the rapture. The Lord returns. And I will read it to you from a couple of scriptures. Great preachers are still arguing about, will the rapture be before the tribulation? Will it be after the tribulation? Not arguing, reading, finding the answer in the Word and respecting it and agreeing with God. More we don't need. We are not right anyway. Only God is right. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Why? Because we are walking in the light. The prophetic word shines. It has become light at the evening time. Darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness the people. But upon thee shall rise the sun of righteousness. And then the same Paul writes in verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Amen. Not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not for the time when the trumpet judgments, when the vials of wrath are poured out. Then we have nothing to do on this earth. Noah went into the ark before the flood took all the others along. And Lot came out of Sodom, and Abraham was not even in Sodom when the fire fell. So, as it was in those days, so it will be again. It is a coming out and a going in, a coming out from all what is not in line with God, and then entering into the ark to be safe there and to have comfort, just as the name Noah already declares. Rest and comfort. There is a rest for the people of God. And we must come to this rest in God. We must rest in the promises, resting in the Word. Everything what brings unrest shows that we do not have yet the assurance of faith, which comes from the Word of God and which comes by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then we just go, in this case, to Revelation, chapter 6, where it speaks of the sixth seal. And here, namely, in the time after the rapture. Because maybe It should be emphasized here that not even the first trumpet can sound with its judgment, except the 144,000 are sealed. You can read it, Revelation chapter 7, in verse 3. Heard not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe are listed. And in Revelation 14, from verse 1, they are shown to us on Mount Zion. Because on Mount Zion, the salvation will be for the tribes of Israel, and at that time they will look unto him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. That's how it is written, and thus it will be. Revelation chapter 6, from verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So, in the sixth seal, we have the introduction into the day of the Lord. It's so nice when we think on the opening of the seals. It was in March 1963. And here, some who are newly added, they may ask, one moment, what is this? March 63? Yes, regrettably. Sadly, but true, there are still millions upon millions who did not hear anything of what God has done, who just heard of what great evangelists, great charismatics have done, where they have built their Bible schools, their mission works, and as they are spreading, building their own kingdom within the kingdom of God. This many know. We are interested in that, what God promised. Daniel 12. The book should be sealed until the end time. Not forever, but until the end time. Revelation 5. And the Lamb took the book from the hand of him who sat on the throne to open the seven seals and to reveal the contents. And here is, of course, this testimony, and not only the testimony of a man, but many witnesses who were there when the supernatural happened. Today, I brought with me from the internet, from the preachings of Brother Branham, from the 1,159 sermons, I brought with me 63 quotes for this subject. And everywhere he gives testimony of how he was called as the supernatural happened on the 11th of June 33, as the supernatural happened in January 1950 in Houston, Texas, in Sam Colosseum. Two photographers, Ayers and Kipperman, one a Roman Catholic, the other one a Jew, and both were taking pictures at the behest of the Baptist preacher Dr. Best. And first, it was Brother Bosworth who was leading the conversation. Actually, he was leading the debate, which was directed against Brother Branham. Brother Branham was first sitting on the balcony. He was not even on the platform. And then, sometime later, this opponent of divine healing, the opponent of the full gospel and the opponent of Brother Branham, he said, "Let this man come here and let him speak for himself." And behold, the man came, and he did not have to speak for himself. One more last photograph was taken, and on the photo, the pillar of light, the supernatural pillar of light above the head of Brother Branham. And the Jew said, "This I cannot believe." And the Catholic said, "But what is with the photo? We took it." Not so. "What is with the photo? The light was there. Otherwise, our camera could not have taken it." And then it was sent to Washington, so that in Washington it can be examined by the FBI, namely of those who know much about swindle and fraud, those who have to examine questioned documents, letting them go through various tests to find out, was it a double exposure, was it a swindle or something? And behold, the declaration was written down. Also, I think it was the 29th of January, 1950, that no double exposure was done, but the light was there. And out of this supernatural light, Brother Branham many times heard the voice of him who spoke to him. And I, Brother Frank, in December 1969, on my way from New York to Tucson, Arizona, I made a stopover in Washington, D.C. And the whole morning I was looking for the Hall of Art of which Brother Branham was speaking. And really, when I was about to give up, I was asking a man, and he said, "But you are standing right in front of it. You just have to enter here." It might have been a quarter past 11, local time, when I entered this building. And I, Ewald Frank, have seen this picture with the supernatural light which was sent to Washington. I have seen it with my own eyes in the Hall of Art. It was not only a say-so, but it was really so. Why do I mention these things? Because it's written that God would send a prophet like Elijah. Not we are making here a basis of assessment, putting up our own standards or criterions, but we let ourselves be measured on the basis of God's word. But I'm asking also those who are newly added, who am I that I would oppose God's supernatural working here on earth? After 2,000 years, God has graciously visited our generation because we are the last one. And we are in the last church age. And in the last church age, we all know the Lord is standing outside. Inside, they are singing about him. Everything goes on the inside. But he himself stands outside. And why does he stand outside? Because he must call out. And why did the man stand outside of all organizations and denominations? The same man who could say, Dr. Roy Davis from Dallas, Texas, he ordained me in this Baptist church to be a preacher. The same man could say, after his ordination and after his first tent mission, then you all know what happened. God has just blessed from the very beginning. We do not decide over God. God decides over us. But when heaven comes down, when God fulfills promises, and please, if you believe it, then just say also amen, just in a moment. If you believe that we have reached the end of the time of grace, then just say amen. If you believe that this is really the end time in which we are living, and that we do not interpret the signs of the time, but that we clearly can see that this is the time of which our Lord had spoken. Be it in Matthew 24, be it in Mark 13, be it in Luke 17, everywhere, the Lord, of course, spoke of this time. Even that it would be like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Just imagine, there God the Lord visits Abraham in Genesis 18 with two angels, and the two angels are going then to Sodom and are arriving in chapter 19 verse 1 in the evening in Sodom, and the men, the homosexual men, want to get hold of this heavenly visit. One just has to imagine this. What do we have today? Today, the mating of men is endorsed. Mayors, politicians, all are gloating about it. I don't know what's going on with people. I don't want to judge. But even the animals which were called into the ark, they entered by pairs into the ark. That's how it's written. They didn't come male with male or female with female. There, male and female entered. Always male and female. That's how it is written in the Word of God. But so that the time might be fulfilled, we are having Sodom and Gomorrah. And this very publicly. No one takes offense at it. Only if we comply with the divine order, then we are something foreign in this world. But we are not of this world. That's how our Lord said it in John 17. Ye are not of this world, just as I am also not of this world. And he prayed, Father, don't take them, but be with them. And our Lord gave us the promise to be with us until the end of the world. And thus it is written, the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come, and the Lord will be with us until the end. Let me say here, the end will be more glorious than the beginning was. God will finish his work in triumph. Let it once more get into your hearts. This is the time of God, the hour of God. He has sent his prophet and his prophetic word, teaching about Godhead, about baptism, about Lord's Supper. In fact, over all Bible subjects, he gave teaching and clarity by his grace. No one needs to go astray anymore in one's own knowledge, in one's own ways. All can return to the Lord, walking in his ways. As written in the prophet Jeremiah, ask for the old paths, and when ye found it, then walk on it. And our Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Thanks be to God that we could understand also rightly what was said in the Great Commission and what was said in regards to the Lord's Supper, that we could understand everything rightly. Why? Because we took all scriptures which belong to the subject. No Bible subject is established on one scripture only. And let me say here to all brethren worldwide, he who just takes Revelation 10 alone and just builds on one single place, he just cannot be right. One must take one scripture to the other and to the third, and then getting an overall picture. You all know at this place and worldwide that we believe in the God-given ministry which God gave us. We believe it with all our hearts, but we do not glorify any man, not a Paul, not a Peter, not a Brother Branham. We give all the glory to God alone in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And one more thing. We resist and reject all the doctrines which come forth by interpretations. And this with all that is within us, without any compromise. God is only in his word. And Satan is in every interpretation, also in all the interpretations about Revelation 10. Revelation 10 will happen just as Micah 5 happened, just as Psalm 22 happened. It will be fulfilled. But first, the time must come for it, when the time was fulfilled. Let us keep it in mind, only then it happened. Then John the Baptist stepped on the scene. Then our Redeemer came on the scene. Then Calvary happened, when the time was fulfilled. Revelation 10 will be fulfilled when the Lord, as the original owner who made land and sea and everything, when he will put his feet on land and sea, and then he roars like a lion. As lion, he is king. As lamb, he is redeemer. As the Lamb of God, he carried all our guilt and took all our sin upon himself. Also, each designation of our Lord has its place and must be left there where it's written. We believe that Brother Branham was the last church age messenger, the last angel to the last church age, and that God, through his ministry, revealed really everything, beginning from Genesis 1 up to Revelation 22. And we confess today that since the taking away of the prophet, the message which he brought us, which we compared with the word, it became clearer and clearer to us. And God, by his Spirit, has led us into all the truth. So, not decorating of the grave of a prophet, but believing as the scripture has said, and giving God the glory, because the Lord is with us and fulfills the last promises. May the ones who are here today and who want to get baptized, may they also have the clarity about that at this place we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it was at the first baptism. That's how the command was on the foundation day of the New Testament. And that's how it remains until the end. Expect here only biblical preachings and biblical baptisms as it was left to us in the Word of God. He, the Almighty God, may He have laid His Word into our hearts, and may it resound there as a yes and amen, because that's how our Lord introduced Himself, as the Amen. He is the last and the first. Blessed be the Lord, the Almighty God, who finishes His work with His bright church now. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. We stand up and we sing, maybe today, Only Believe. Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, nur glaube nur, glaube. We believe it and we accept it. When the Lord came into a house, into a village or into a town, then people had the chance to call upon Him, to ask Him for salvation, for healing and for deliverance. And everywhere it happened, even when He was on His way, He was called upon. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Not only the blind man at Jericho, also the man who dwelt in the graves. He called upon the name of the Lord. Regardless in what condition we are, regardless of what we went through in life, it might be bad, but it is written, and though your sins be red as blood, they shall be white as snow. This is what the prophet Isaiah writes in the first chapter, before he wrote all the other chapters. Chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Chapter 53, chapter 35. Before he wrote 65 and 66 of the new heaven and the new earth, he right at the beginning showed us Calvary. Though your sins be red as blood, they shall be white as snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth. And so we will be like our Lord, just as sure as He became like us. Yesterday we heard at the end the admonition to the children, maybe also to the youth. Brothers and sisters, we want to pray now that all the children and all who are growing up, all the teenagers, all the youth, that they have an experience with the Lord. We are in the presence of God. Young people, they need an experience with God. And so we want to pray now that all the youth, firstly, all the children, all who understand already of what it's all about, who were spoken to by the word, that they just raise their hands now. We are all closing our eyes. Just raise your, yeah, most surely everywhere. God bless. Everywhere. God bless you. Now we want to raise all our hands, praying together. Please believe it. The Lord is present. He did not only give the promise, He keeps what He promises. He just is asking, what do you want me to do for you? Sister Gute Kunst, may God bless you also in a special way. May He touch you. May it be the day which the Lord made for you. And all who are here today, who have come with a desire, with a need, with a sickness, believe now. Believe. It is finished. The Lord did it. Let us pray and believe. Beloved Lord, you ever faithful God, your word is precious to us. We believe it. We receive it. Confirm thy word in all. Save, heal, deliver, bless, bless, and manifest thy power and thy glory. Stretch forth thine arm, O Lord, and confirm thy word in our midst. We thank thee with all our hearts and with all our souls. You have done it. We thank thee for it because we believe it. And once again, thank you, Lord. May all worldwide be blessed, especially all the brethren who are ministering with the word. Give them clarity through the truth and be with them. We thank thee for thy church, for the blood-bought flock from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Have thine own way with all of us. Blessed and praised be thou, Lord our God, now and forever, in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah! 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 Amen. Oh, es ist Jesus. Lass uns noch singen. Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.